We are going to read from Psalm 33. I think, yes. As ever, I don't plan to speak for too long this evening. It would be great to have a time of prayer. Hopefully we have much to praise God for. I'm sure we have much to pray to God for too. But let's look for a little while at these words we find in Psalm 33. Entitled, The Steadfast Love of the Lord, with no author, as far as I can find it. Other than God, of course, but don't question me. Let's read. Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. For the word of the Lord is upright. All his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made. By the breath of his mouth all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The people whom he has chosen as his heritage. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of man. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might it cannot rescue. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. As we read through Psalm 33, we recognize that it is very much a psalm of praise. Anything that begins shout for joy must surely be a psalm of praise. Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. I don't know if the word shout is significant. It's more exciting than to whisper or to mumble. Shout for joy. There's many types of shout. I think this is a positive, excited type of shout, not an angry. That would be a weird way to shout for joy, wouldn't it, in anger. But here, shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. The psalmist is commanding God's people to shout for joy. I'm not sure who wrote this psalm. I may tell you somewhere later, but it doesn't. It's part of scripture. But we can see clearly that the psalmist recognized various things about God that were worth praising. And therefore, his desire is for the people to shout for joy. How can you praise God? Well, he gives a practical way, a very practical way. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. I'm not going to stand here this evening and say the only way to praise God is with a 10-stringed harp. Robin's got 12, so we've already got a problem. I don't think it sounds like a harp. But the point is that music is a truly wonderful way to praise God. Music is a truly magnificent way to praise God. This morning, I had the song that we had here a couple of weeks ago, Our God is an Awesome God. If you remember, there's about 15 words and you repeat them over and over again. But what a simple way to recognize that God is truly amazing. That song, See Jesus Stripped of Majesty, seems at the moment to be constantly on my mind. What a great way to remember the sacrificial love of Christ than in the song that gets stuck in your head. The public playing of music, as we thought about at Foundations, is a great way to praise God. If we're humming our way through Tesco's or whistling our way down the street and people see us, they may cast sidelong looks at us, but does it matter? We're praising God, and surely people can see the joy on our faces, I hope. Sing to him a new song also clearly doesn't mean every song we sing has to be newly written that day. But it's a song out of a new attitude, a changed attitude, after coming, in our case, to Christ, after turning to God, a song that's sung out of admiration for the love that we have received. It's a song in response to the wonderful grace of God. Our lives should ever be full of praise, because we have so much to praise God for. I particularly like the second half of verse 3, and I find it very helpful to me. There are two ways to praise God with music. Firstly, to play skillfully. And secondly, with loud shouts. And as we thought about at Foundations, some of us can do both. Some of us can only do one. And I know which one I am. You don't have to tell me, I'm told regularly. But how good it is that no matter whether we are skillful or loud, we can still praise God. It doesn't take a concert pianist. It doesn't take an operatic singer to be able to praise God. Praise comes from the heart. And we should praise God. The psalmist, I believe, gives us three reasons to praise God. Firstly, his word is flawless. Secondly, his will is flawless. And thirdly, we are flawed. His word is flawless. Verse 4, the word of the Lord is upright. All his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. The word of the Lord is upright. Every word that God has ever said or written is perfect. It is full of righteousness. It is full of justice. Many claim that the word of God is unfair, but it is not at all. Everything that God has said or done is absolutely perfect. I don't know that we can get a full picture of that because we are so broken in so many ways, but we sing, I've just come back from camp, we sing songs like God is good all the time. And yes, that's true, but what does it really mean? God is so much more than good. God is so much better than just good. He is entirely flawless. He is entirely perfect. Every word of his is true. No promise of his can be broken. Everything is done faithfully. And he loves righteousness. And he loves justice. And therefore, all of the earth is full of his love. Every promise that he's ever made has come true. Everything in the Old Testament, as we thought about a few weeks ago, points to Jesus, the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, this promised Messiah, this promised Messiah who came, and therefore, because God is a God of faithfulness, we can trust in the promises that apply to us now, the promised hope of a salvation that will come, the promised hope that whenever we're tempted, he will give us a way out. Whatever it may be, we can rest assured in his promises. His word is flawless, therefore we can praise him. But not only are his words upright and true, they are also full of power. Verse 6 goes on, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, by the breath of his mouth all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deep in storehouses. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. By the breath of his mouth, all of their host. What can we truly do with our mouths? What can we truly do with our breath? We had a game at the campfire. I will try not to talk about camp too much. There was a game at the campfire. I think there was a ping pong ball and a tray of water and a child at either end with a straw. And they tried to blow the ball to one end and actually most of them just made a mess. We don't have much power in our breath. I had someone taking a peak flow meter the other day and it's not that impressive. And yet the psalmist is saying that with God's breath, he flung the stars into space, which is absolutely mind-blowingly amazing. To see the power of God's words in a physical way through the stars in space, through the beauty of creation. God's words have great power. How should the people therefore respond? Verse 8, let the earth fear the Lord. A few weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago in the morning, I was speaking on Psalm 19. And the three ways that we have God revealed to us through the creation, his word and his people. And it's true, isn't it? No one has an excuse to recognize God's power. No one has an excuse not to recognize God's power. No one has an excuse not to recognize God's power. Everyone should be able to see it because of the beauty, the power of creation. So therefore, all the earth should fear him. With someone of such power, we should all respect and fear him. A bit like the ant that I found in the kitchen that I'm sure was fearing my thumb as it was bearing down upon it, because I'd like to think much more powerful than an ant. God is much more powerful than us. One reason to praise God. His word is flawless. His word is true. His word is full of power. Secondly, his will is flawless. Verse 10. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the people. I don't think I need to do a show of hands to see how many people here have had their plans frustrated in some way. Plans that they made to do things. We don't have to cast our mind back very far, but to think of COVID, which disrupted the plans of many, many people. We had great plans at camp, and then one of my children was ill on the first full day, and that took 2 days of having to rearrange and adjust. All sorts of things cause us to have to replan. But God has a plan that stands forever. Verse 11, the counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. Even if we just think about Jesus and how Jesus is woven into the Old Testament, how Jesus is written in, and we see that great plan of salvation coming through all of Scripture. God's will was flawless. If we see the plans for his people, Israel, we look at the life of Joseph. To many, it looked as if Joseph was beleaguered and defeated as he was sent to Egypt. And yet it was that sending to Egypt that delivered God's people from famine. God's will is flawless. There may be times in our life where we don't understand what's going on, where we don't understand how the things that are going on could possibly be God's will. And at times, we just have to trust that the counsel of the Lord stands forever. And when we look back upon history and we see time and time again the wisdom of God outshining the wisdom of man, our song of praise should be all the stronger. Our song of praise should be all the greater. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. Nation upon nation upon nation try to go their own way. Even if you look at the life of Israel through the Old Testament, every time they tried to go their own way, someone came in and took all their wine presses or grain or whatever it may be. Today we see nation after nation trying to go their own way, go according to their wisdom. But they will not succeed. The only nation that will is the one who calls God Lord. The people whom he has chosen. We've been thinking about parables over the past couple of weeks and the phrase the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. God's kingdom, which now on earth is the church. That is the one nation who call God the Lord. And therefore they are the one nation who is blessed. And I don't mean a geographical nation, as you know. I mean God's people who are scattered around this globe. They are the ones who is blessed, who he has blessed. I've got two verses. Romans chapter 11 and verse 17 before we move on. Romans chapter 11 and verse 17. Which says, if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant towards the branches. This passage in Romans chapter 11 references the remnant of Israel, the leftovers of Israel, how the Gentiles were grafted in Christ Jesus. Verse 11 said, did they stumble in order that they might fall? By no means. Rather, through their trespass, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Salvation came to the Gentiles. All who believe are grafted in to that stump of Jesse. We are made as one people. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says that a bit more simply. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says this. You, God's people, are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. As believers, we are grafted in to that tree of Israel. We are grafted in. All who trust in the Lord Jesus are of that one nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. I think I modeled that a bit. I hope that you can. And therefore, we have two reasons to praise God, his powerful word and his flawless will. And when we understand just how great he is, does it not make us realize how flawed we are? But that's the third reason the psalmist gives us to praise God, because we are flawed. F-L-A-W-E-D, flawed, as opposed to laying upon the floor. Verse 13 tells us the Lord looks down from heaven, which actually is truly phenomenal just in itself. God is in the glory of heaven, and yet he cares enough to worry about what's going on this earth. If you are living in the most glorious place on earth, would you worry about what's going on in the back streets of, I'm not going to say anywhere, the least glorious place on earth? Use your imagination. And yet God does, and it's so much more than that. God, in the glory of heaven, cares to look down on us. And I find this truly phenomenal. He sees all the children of men from where he sits enthroned. He looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. I realised last week, looking up at the stars, you can only look at a brief portion of them before your mind wanders to the next ones, or you can only take in a few. And yet simultaneously, God can look out upon all the people of the earth. And I don't know if I think about that enough, but that's truly amazing. 7 billion people or whatever it is, and God knows the hearts and minds of every single one. Just points to the great power of the God that we love. He sees us all. And the psalmist points out there are various things that those people so often rely upon. The king, verse 15, and his army. A warrior and his strength. The war horse being a false hope for salvation. It cannot rescue. Humans, humanity, people, time and time again, put their faith in the wrong thing. They put their faith in their own strength, their own wisdom. What might it be instead of a king being saved by his great army? I suppose that one might still apply today. Kings think, well, prime ministers, presidents, whatever you may have, think a great army is their strength. I've never really looked at a war horse as being my hope for salvation. But there are all sorts of things that people look at as being a hope for salvation. Even just our good deeds, which are not good enough. So often we rely on ourselves, but none of those things can rescue. no matter how hard we try. We cannot be rescued from the sin that's within us. What can rescue us? What alone can rescue us? Verse 18 hints at it. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. As we've been looking through Psalms, I've been asking that question, where is Jesus? And the answer in this Psalm, I think, is there is Jesus on those who hope in his steadfast love. And how was that steadfast love most greatly displayed? By sending his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die upon a cross so that we may have hope of eternal life. We are flawed. Our strength cannot save us. The only thing that can is the Lord Jesus. God, in his infinite mercy, sent him to save those who would believe. So what should our response be? This flawless God who so graciously loves these flawed people. Verse 21. Our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us even as we hope in you. Our hearts should turn to gladness. Because what a glorious God we have. What a truly magnificent Saviour we have. Amen.